everybody. Welcome to Debate the Slate, part of the Riding the Pine Network. This is the very first episode of this. Previously, just a once-a-day blog post of really just making you guys money, kind of taking you along with us while we make you money. So just to give you a quick little synopsis of what's going on here, my name is Garrett Green. We're also joined here by Dom Garrett. Say hi, Dom.
Hello.
So don't get confused by the Garrett and Mr. Garrett. But we're just a couple of degenerates that write for a sports-life-tacos website that have a little bit of a very, very much gambling problem. But sometimes those turn into heaters. Sometimes we know what we're talking about, and that's what we're here for today. And what a sweeter time to start than deep into the NCAA basketball tournament. This is degenerate heaven. Like, when we die and go to heaven, if there isn't games on from like noon to midnight to gamble on, or for you on the West Coast, like sun up to sun down when you're living the dream already, I'm going to be upset.
I'm right there with you. I think that heaven is overs always hitting, and like 15 team mega parlays that you just seem like a genius and you never really have to sweat.
Now you're talking dirty.
Yeah. Oh man. So everybody clean up, because I know that there was some parlay explosions that happened all the way across the country with that thought. But yeah, it's so wonderful from literally sun up to sundown, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was logged in. I was logged into my app. I was logged into multiple websites online. And productivity went from a cruising speed to straight up stopped. And I've been jonesing for it, a little scratch in the neck. You guys got any more of those overs for the last couple of days? But thank goodness we get to bet on more things. So
I'm with you, and we're not going to focus on this today. But I had the NIT and like CBI and whatever, and collegeinsider.com, like the most cheap sounding basketball tournaments, have like kept me going. The NITs have had some incredible money to make. Like the dogs straight up were in the first round, were like 8-2, I believe, just straight up, or 6-4. I think the first day they were winning. It's unbelievable. I guess because you get those big teams that just don't really care.
That's what I'm saying. Next year, we take a road trip and we just go to NIT games and just smash the dog picks, smash a couple of beers, and then just yell at kids that are not good enough to make the NCAA tournament. I think that would be turn that into a video series for sure.
Like, you have no idea how unbelievably down I am with that.
Just like sit in Madison Square Garden and just go, or like, you know, like Charleston or wherever else the hell these freaking games are. Jim Boeheim will be there 100% and it'll be awesome. So,
and he'll be pissed. All right. So look for that next year, guys.
But for now,
live from the NIT, for now, we're going to stick to the teams that are actually good enough to make the big dance. And again, this is the first episode. So what we're going to do here is we're not going to cover every single game. Just statistically speaking, you don't want to bet every single game.
Please,
I feel like
that
probably will just a little bit here and there for all the action. But if you're really looking to make money, do not bet every single game. But we're going to dive into what we really like. And let's just start with Thursday, March 23rd. We got four games. Really interesting. A couple unexpected matchups. I don't think a ton of people expected Michigan and Oregon to be playing out of that region. And I think most people expected West Virginia, Gonzaga. A lot of people like Notre Dame. That was not me. West Virginia is too good. Purdue, Kansas, and then Xavier versus Arizona. Dom, what are you eyeing that night? What are you liking?
Well, I tell you what, anybody that knows me knows I am a big, Michigan State guy. But the way I've been watching Michigan very closely this year, the way they've been playing in the Big Ten tournament, after they had that plane that skid off the runway, not a plane crash, not the story of March. Calm your ass down, Jim Nance. But this Michigan
team of destiny.
The team of destiny. Shut the hell up. Anyway, I am going to be locked and loaded in this Michigan-Oregon game. this Michigan team has carried the first game of 2 days of this NCAA tournament. Their game against Oklahoma State that we knew was going to be just an over smash, as well as like the bad beat of the century with that last second three for Oklahoma State, and then their game against Louisville. In this game, I'm torn because I know that Dylan Brooks can put up points. I know that Michigan has the ability to, you know, they went just off against Louisville, a very good Louisville team, and they, you know, as dogs covered in that. I think it's really interesting that a 7 seed in the Sweet 16 is only getting, is actually giving a point here.
Yeah, it's wild. Which is wild. I mean, it opened just even.
Yeah. And 67% right now of the public's money is on the over, set at 146. I feel like this run has to end sometime for both Oregon, who puts up points even though they're arguably one of the best players on their team, went down with a knee injury in the Pac-12 tournament. I personally am going to be putting my money on the under of this Michigan-Oregon game. The public money that is sitting there, the fact that all of that money is, the line has only changed. The line has only changed by half a point, even though like 67% of the public has their money on Michigan. On the over. I think I'm going to go with the under. I think that this one's going to be a little bit closer, and I don't know if somebody's going to hit 70 points. So how about you, sir? What are you looking at?
So in this particular game, this is totally sets up from the kind of game I come into, and I'm like, it's not going to hit that. It's not going to go hit the over. I'm a pessimistic gambler, I feel like. I mean, I want everything hit over, but I feel like everyone does, and that can often slightly drive lines up, and the under can make you some good money. But this one, I just don't think either team is that strong defensively to really shut the other one down, and I think that we may see a more of an aggressive offense where they're just going to be like, let's just get buckets. Like we need to get points every single time we touch the ball and go down the court versus a ton of defensive mindset. So I actually like the over. I mean, in the past 15 games, Michigan is averaging 76.5 points. We got Oregon averaging 79 points.
That firmly falls into the over.
Yes, that it does. And then those points go up a little bit in their last 10 games as well, those averages, I mean. Michigan's opponent shooting percentage is awful. It ranks 285th in the entire NCAA at 46.60%. Like, what are they doing out there? They're letting people get easy shots.
They're not playing defense.
And they are not. But I mean, in the past, couple of games, neither of these teams are. Oregon, in the last three games, Oregon's opponent shooting percentage is 50.3%. That's outrageous.
Yeah, I think you may have convinced me. I think you may have convinced me to go over to the dark side.
Yeah, I mean,
not the dark side, the fun side. Like, bet
yeah, it is the fun side, but my gut feeling was definitely under. I don't see it. I think it's going to be a good game. It's kind of bizarre that these two teams are honestly playing to go to the Elite Eight. I think Michigan's going to win. And since it's just a point, I'm going to take them to cover. I think that the team of destiny and their miracle run goes on a little bit longer, and Oregon stumbles a little bit and can't close it out. So that's what I like in this game. I like the over. I like Michigan. You can go Michigan money line if you want. It's not going to do much damage to you. I think most books are having it at like negative. Yeah. I mean, basically just like the house money on it. Let's see. I want to talk West Virginia Gonzaga game.
Okay.
You got any strong opinions about that one?
Ooh, man, it's a game that I feel like this is a Huggy Bear special. Gonzaga, if it wasn't for that technical on Chris Collins and the reach through the basket, the goaltending that never was, I feel like we might be seeing Northwestern this game.
It easily could have happened. And I don't think, Northwestern I knew was better than Vanderbilt. And I just Northwestern's not that good of a team. They're not an Elite Eight, Final Four, realistic national championship team, which is what everyone's trying to sell Gonzaga as. And I just don't see it.
I think that Gonzaga just has this thing where everybody looks at them and they go, all right, so Mark Few, never been to the Final Four. Gonzaga, never been to the Final Four. Is this year they break through? They only dropped that one game to BYU, a team that they, a team that they normally beat. And Gonzaga's numbers are crazy, but I think that they're skewed by the competition that they've had. I mean, they're like 13-0 straight up as favorites. They're 22-7-1 against the spread. They're 7-3 against the spread in their last 10 games. And that includes games that, they were supposed to, if you take games like the game against, San Diego State University, where they didn't cover, but the line was 23.5. Those absurd type of lines. But then again, I also looked like they were getting 10 points against Northwestern and they didn't cover that either. That game was only 6. This is a game that I don't think is going to score a lot of points. I feel like the under is the place where I would want to put my money in this. 148 is a lot. Now, the press, the press can cause a lot of turnovers, which could keep a team from scoring not a ton of points, but it also gets teams into their offense. It allows fast break if you make, if you don't shit your pants and actually slow down. That's a direct quote from Mark Titus. If a team doesn't shit their pants and realizes, hey, let's make 2 extra passes, you can have some fast break points, which means that typically more points are going to be scored. But I watched a lot of West Virginia, and I don't feel totally confident in them. I've seen them just lay some absolute eggs. But then I've also seen some good games from them. They beat a Kent State. I mean, they beat, Kansas State in the Big 12 tournament 50-51. They can have some low scoring games. So my heart goes to the under on this game. And I don't know, I think I'm one of those guys that just doesn't believe in Gonzaga. So for that reason, and I haven't seen them play a team that is going to test them for all 40 minutes like West Virginia is going to, I could see this being a game that West Virginia wins. So, this is tempting for me, looking at this, to take West Virginia on the money line. How do you feel about this?
I am tempted. I'll probably sprinkle a little bit of money on the West Virginia money line. I think they're going to win as well. I definitely feel super, super comfortable recommending West Virginia and taking that 3 ball with you. I love that. I think if it's going to come down to the wire, I think it's probably going to come down to the wire regardless. I'm with you. My doubts on Gonzaga, they haven't been super tested. I think that one reason a lot of people like them this year even more than normal is this. Everyone's saying, this is the best Gonzaga team we've ever seen. This is the best squad they've ever had, the most skill, the most talent, which is 1,000% accurate. They have some way better players coming off their bench at a higher caliber due to a lot of transfers and things than they've ever had. But that still doesn't make them the best team in the country or bring them into that elite level of teams that there are only a couple of this year. And when I look back at a couple of things, in November, they beat Florida by 5 points at Florida, which I'm a Kentucky fan, so I'm paying attention to the SEC a good bit. November Florida is not the same Florida that we're seeing right now and have seen in the past month or so. I know that they beat Arizona, but Arizona had some injury issues, I believe it was at the time. They beat Tennessee by 10. Tennessee is not a very good team. You need to be beating them by more than 10 points. That's going to bother me.
Agreed.
It's earlier in the year. They had a really close call with St. Mary's, who is a very good team, but snuck away there. Yeah, they beat them by like 10, who's a good team, but again, not an elite team. I don't see the absolute dominance that I should for this week schedule you have. But that with barely beating Northwestern, the awful start against San Diego State. I mean, they were up by like 8 at halftime. And yes, they absolutely ran away with it and it wasn't a contest, it was a joke. But still, like, if that happens for a couple minutes against a real team, you're screwed. So I love West Virginia to win this game. Picked it in all my brackets and all that crap. And I love the under. Yeah, I think West Virginia's defense is going to slow down Gonzaga to a degree that they've just haven't seen. They've never seen it. Haven't faced a defense like this. And that's hopefully if West Virginia can take the opportunity on any turnovers and things like that, I think they are going to definitely take down the monster and move on. So they'll play the Xavier Zona winner, which is not one I really want to dive into a ton.
No.
I think Arizona's going to cruise. I do like over 145 in that game. Actually, I like that a lot. That was one I was had on my list to hit that.
I agree with you there. I think that's going to be Xavier is this team that can shoot the ball from outside. And that's the only way that I think they're going to keep up with Arizona. I agree with you. I think Arizona is going to win that game. But I think that Xavier is going to keep it close. That 7.5 is like tempting because I'm like, God, that's a lot of points for a Xavier team that's actually playing really good right now.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you don't know which one of those Xavier teams is going to show up. But
yeah, I just don't trust them as much without is it Sumner, the guard that's got hurt a couple months back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They haven't looked the same as in their times. They look good, but it's more rare and they're definitely just inconsistent. But
carrying around that ash. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, that's come on, man. but you put up 91 points against a really talented Florida State team that has skill, but I think as a team sucks, but there's enough like talent there that they should not. You shouldn't put up that kind of number. I think you're going to get some buckets on Arizona. And if anyone goes cold on Arizona's team, they do need to be afraid. But I just don't foresee that happening. That's what I like Thursday. I don't think I like anything about the Purdue Kansas game because Kansas hasn't seen anything like Purdue's size. And that worries me as far as understanding what is going to happen there.
I will say one thing, and it's something that Michigan State should have done more of, to have more of a chance in that game. Kansas is weak in the middle. They have nothing that can come close to being able to deal with the size of Caleb Swanigan down low, like that sort of a presence. Forget about Haas, you know, who's just a big dude down there, but like Swanigan, I think, is going to give Kansas fits. So if you like are really jonesing and you're like, I don't have that many basketball games left, I need to go ahead and bet on something. like if you want to have a rooting interest in this, like take Purdue on the money line. Because if they actually click and play the type of Purdue game that they can, the type of Purdue game that they played against Iowa State, Purdue will be the team going to the Elite Eight out of that game. This seems like a very Bill Self-y, like, congrats, you made it to the Sweet 16 with a ton of talent and some seniors, but you're not going to make it any further than that. This seems like one of those Bill Self specials. So that's your Dom flyer for the weekend. So
I like that. Again, and he acknowledged that they hadn't seen any size like this Purdue team has. And then it's gonna be different. But I honestly, I kind of forgot. I love the under 156.5. Love the under.
How are they getting that many points? Like, I get that Kansas just put up some numbers on Michigan State, but Purdue is not Michigan State. Purdue shut some shit down. So, like, Swanigan can't play defense, but he's not gonna have to anywhere. Like, this, give me the under, please and thank you.
Yeah, like, Kansas isn't going to win this like 95 to like 70. Like, it's just not like, this is just absurd. I love that under. I honestly kind of slipped my mind as we were getting ready for this. Love the under there.
All right. What do you got on Friday, man?
On Friday. So full disclosure, lifelong Kentucky fan, born and raised not far from campus. My parents went there. I do just about anything I can to avoid betting on my team, because I don't want my like emotional, mental like wall and car to hit each other. I'll sometimes bet like our first halves, sometimes the over under. This is one of those rare cases that I will bet the over under. That's the most I'll do. I'll never take Kentucky in points or to win or anything. But 165 points is ab fucking absurd. That is, unless everyone on Kentucky dies and Lonzo Ball just is playing one on zero for shits and giggles, like, I just don't see this happening. Or if all three of Kentucky's best players have career games by a mile. Like, if Monk and Fox get very, very hot and Bam is grabbing literally every single offensive rebound, like, maybe, but I don't see both of these teams having over 80 points. Both. I mean, I don't see it being a 90 to 70 something point game. I mean, I don't see it getting up there. And I know that if Kentucky wants a chance to win, that they are going to have to shut down UCLA some. And our offense is a worry. It worries me. And so if we aren't getting buckets and we keep it close, then it's going to be a very low scoring game compared to what people are expecting.
I agree with you there. I think that people see Lonzo Ball, they see Kentucky, and then they think points. But like, there was only 127 points that were scored in the Wichita State game. The game before that for Kentucky, there was only there was 149. The game against Arkansas, there was like sitting right in like the 150, 147 range. Like, I don't see Kentucky putting up the numbers to be able to keep up with that. You know,
neither do I, which freaks me out, because I think Vegas is saying like Kentucky's going to lose and they're going to lose handedly, and UCLA is going to just mop them with it, which worries me.
I don't necessarily see that happening, though. That's why, like, I'm going with the under. The fact that this opened up at 169 is so absurd. And I think that Vegas realized really quick that they made a problem with that, that there was an issue with that, because that line, since it opened, dropped to 165.5. So we're talking like a 3.5 point swing. And, you know, the favorite swung too. Like, Kentucky opened this game, you know, giving a point, and now they're giving one. So I feel like this was one that even Vegas was like, I have no idea how the fuck to set this line. So
I'm with you on the under.
Yeah, like, I'm with you on the under, and I think it's gonna adjust, but I don't know. I have had and still believe that UK has the ability to win this game. And so, like, for that reason, like, I would take that point. You know, the money line's not that tempting. I think right now it's like UK minus 103. It's not that big of a deal for me. But you know, I'm probably going to take the point anyway, you know, because why not? But I think that this is, this is a game that I think, you know, I think UK is gonna win this game, because if it's not for Lonzo Ball, you know, like, Alford doesn't play that great every single game. And, you know, you saw him just like straight up look horrendous against Arizona in the Pac-12 championship. So I think UK wins this game, but I definitely see it. Barring an overtime, all right? Barring an overtime,
it's going to be a very good game, and I think it will be. And so an overtime does really come into play and just terrifies me, because I'm going to bet that under. But we'll have to see that one plays out. I will say, one of my favorite bets that I'm seeing coming up in the next couple days is going to be the first half of the Florida-Wisconsin game. Florida has the sixth best first half point margin average of the season. So they're averaging an 8.2 point lead at halftime. Then on the other side, Wisconsin is the 63rd best in the country, averaging just a 3.4 point lead. And I would say that their schedule strength comes in like somewhat comparable. Obviously, the Big Ten is going to be a little bit better than SEC, but not awful. You know, we're not talking about a Gonzaga type schedule. I think if you're averaging going into the locker room after half the game by over 8 points, and I really like you. Florida is -2 in the first half, and I think I'm gonna hammer that. I think they smash that.
Yeah. I actually see a line right here for Florida -1 in the first half.
Oh, perfect. And even
yeah,
better.
Yeah. So I'm taking that. Give me that, please. What do you think about the first half being the over-under right now that I'm seeing through BetDSI, that book? I'm seeing it at 61. Like, what are your thoughts here? Because obviously, you know, this is a very different game. The over-under in this game overall is just set at 131. Do you think that this is a game where the teams are going to be pretty close and sort of keep it under 30 in the first half? Or do you see, like, Florida, like, jumping out to, like, getting 40, 42 points and then basically guaranteeing that over?
Honestly, I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I think it's going to be close, and I think it hits the over. I think that Florida comes out hot, but Wisconsin is a good team, and they know they're going to have to keep up with them. They aren't a good enough nor confident enough team to let themselves get in a hole too bad. So I like that first half over. You said it was 61.
61.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I really like that.
I think I'm going to parlay Florida minus the point and the over there. I think that's a nice way to make a little bit of cash right at the beginning of the game.
I like that too. I will probably do a similar play. I've been really big I've made some good money in the past couple weeks doing that with the second half, because you're seeing what shooting percentage is looking like, what teams look confident, and you've got a really good. I mean, you got half the picture painted, so it makes it a little easier to figure out what that puzzle is going to be. And just doing a parlay like that, taking the over under, and it's always nice when team is just a strong second half team. You can take them on the money line. Sometimes make some good dough. I would tell you, I'm going to go small bet. I'm going to go small bet, but I think I'm going to take Butler on the money line. You beat Villanova twice. I got confidence in you to beat anyone in the country, even though I think North Carolina is the best team in the country. I like you.
I agree with you there, and I think that they're winning some big games. You know, like the way that they have been winning recently. They're a really solid team. So, and Middle Tennessee State University is nobody to just like shake, you know, to whatever at. And the fact that they were never really close in that game, and North Carolina, you know, had to go on a little bit of runs. They got away with some stuff in the Arkansas game. I think that I have to agree with you there. And yes, you know, take a flyer on it. Why not? You know, it's sitting at, what are the odds sitting at for that game right now for the money line?
Let's see. The opened at +265, and it hasn't changed a ton on the money line. Actually, might have moved up to like 270 on most books. It's looking like 285 on Five Dimes. If that's your
go for it,
where you're rolling.
That's a fun that's a fun little money line.
Yeah, I like that. You get to root to ruin everyone's bracket too.
Root for the dog, literally.
There you go. all right, so the last suggestion I'm going to have for the weekend, and we're about to just shut it down real quick, let people get back to their lives or their commute or whatever they're doing. I love the over in the Baylor-South Carolina game at 135. That's what I'm seeing it at. That's not that many points. I like them to go over that. I think Baylor's going to lead the way in that game, and I think South Carolina is going to be catching up, not too far behind, probably covering that 3.5, but I don't know for sure. But I love the over there.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know, like, South Carolina is like a Jekyll and Hyde type of a team. Like, it depends on which side you get.
They're so losing this game. You don't beat Duke like that and then win again. This is totally like everyone's new favorite team. Just ruins it.
Exactly. That's what South Carolina is going to do. But I still see them putting up enough points to be able to get over that. You know, like if South Carolina is putting up 60, you know, Baylor is going to be able to put up 75. And I think that South Carolina is going to be able to put up more than 60. So they won their last game. They had 88. They won against Marquette and had 93. This is a South Carolina team that can shoot. I see this being like something like a 70 to 75 type of a matchup. And that crushes that 135. So
absolutely.
I am there with you. Give me the over. And you might not have a horse in that race. I know personally I had zero of these teams still left in the tournament at this point. But you know what? Root for some points and get ready for the rest of Friday. So
absolutely. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Make sure you check out our daily picks at ridingthepine.co. Check out Dom on Twitter at Dom Garrett and myself at Garrett Green. And if you missed anything or forget anything, we are in the at Riding the Pine. We'll have all the picks lined up for you that we are loving and our level of confidence in them right in that blog post. Do us a favor, just shoot it over to your friends so we can all make some money and take down the books and the bad guys out of Vegas one game at a time. To all the degenerates out there, good luck.